Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Official investigation has been launched into how home improvements at Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Downing Street flat were funded. Cash for curtains is just one development in a string of controversies surrounding Mr. Johnson at the moment. So just how much trouble is the British Prime Minister in? Well, Alistair Campbell is author and former Chief of Staff in Tony Blair's Labour government, and Andrew Bridgen, Conservative MP for North West Leicestershire, join me on the line now. Good morning to you both. Andrew, I'll start with you. Can you answer that question for me? How much trouble is he in over this cash for curtains row?
Well, I think your listeners have got to look at the perspective and the wider picture. We're on the eve next week of very important local elections, many of which have been delayed for 12 months due to the COVID pandemic. We're in a situation where we've got the best rollout of vaccines in the developed world. We've got independent forecasters predicting 8% economic growth in the UK for the rest of the year. And figures out yesterday show that if you live in the EU, you're 70% more likely to be unemployed than if you live in the UK.
So because of all that, Boris Johnson was spending time in the middle of a pandemic choosing wallpaper that costs more than £800 a roll?
Well, the fact is that those are the issues that are important to the electorate. The opposition parties can't play the ball, so they're now playing the man. I think the wider electorate in the UK and are interested in the issues I've just talked about, not the soft furnishing preferences of the Prime Minister's spouse. And, you know, we've got Alistair Campbell on here. I know him very well. He served under Tony Blair. Tony Blair spent, I understand, £300,000 renovating
I have the figure in front of me here. It's £285,380 over the course of his tenure, right?
Paid for by the taxpayer.
And one of his famous quotes, Alistair Campbell, was, "I won't sleep in Ken Clark's bed." Who did he think he was?
I've got no idea, but I do know that Cherie, when they moved in, they bought a new bed and they paid for every single penny of it. And the money that Andrew Bridgen's talking about and that Boris Johnson talked about yesterday is money that was going on the state part of the building. So these are two separate things. But let me just say that, look, I understand why Andrew's saying what he's saying. That of course the public are much more interested in COVID and they're much more interested in the economy and they're much more interested, by the way, in how badly Brexit is going, not least in Northern Ireland. But when you have a Prime Minister who is prepared so flagrantly to break rules and norms and conventions that are there for a purpose, then I'm afraid this is the kind of problem that this government is going to get into. Does it matter if prime ministers are honest? Does it matter if they genuinely believe in the principles of openness and transparency? Does it matter if they understand that the rules on electoral funding are there for a purpose and they're there to be obeyed? Now, what was very interesting yesterday, and you know, it's an easy thing to say, well, Labour are banging on about this because it's, you know, it's difficult for the Prime Minister, but that's partly what the job of the opposition is. But upholding the basic standards in public life is an important part of Parliament's role. And we have a Prime Minister now who is, there's no point denying this, he is very dishonest. He's been dishonest as a journalist, he's been dishonest as a politician, not least if I can mention Brexit again, the way that Brexit was secured. And this is now, his character is a big issue.
Yeah, but you know, he might be all of those things, but his party is 10% ahead of Labour in the polls. So it's not damaging him.
Well, to be absolutely frank, I don't really care about that in this context. The question is, do we as a country, with our politics, still with the, you know, compared to politics in lots of parts of the world, a pretty good reputation by and large, you know, across whatever party's been in power. One of the reasons for that is there has been a basic understanding that those principles, the Nolan principles of standards in public life, I'll briefly list them for you: honesty, openness, objectivity, selflessness, integrity, accountability, and leadership by example. They matter. And if the people at the top of government are not living their lives by them and governing the country by them, that is a problem, to my mind, I don't care if he's 100 points ahead in the polls. That is a problem for our democracy.
Right, well, let's ask Andrew Bridgen about that. Does it matter to you if the leader of your party and the Prime Minister of Britain, does it matter that he's honest and accountable?
I think he is honest and accountable, and he will go through all the official investigations of whatever allegations are made against him. I mean,
he wouldn't answer the questions yesterday. He wouldn't answer whether David Brownlow paid his £58,000 bill.
The Prime Minister made it clear that he's paid the bill himself. He's liable for those
payments. Who paid it first?
Well,
that is the question, because if it was anybody other than Boris Johnson at any stage of this process, he is already in breach of the ministerial code. Prime Ministers cannot accept gifts that may make them beholden to others. It's written in black and white in the ministerial code, and his name is on the forward.
Andrew, does that matter to you?
That will be investigated in due course. But I think it's quite honestly, the Labour party going on sleaze is a form of desperation. They're so mired in sleaze themselves. It's a little bit like, we have nothing left to lose, so let's set fire to the roof of the house next door, which we know will spread to our house. We've currently got a situation where a Labour-run council in Liverpool was so corrupt it had to be taken over by central government. That's absolutely unprecedented. And the Labour mayoral candidate for the West Midlands is under investigation now for diverting parliamentary funds to their campaign funds.
In which case you're accepting that sort of behaviour is wrong. Therefore, if the person at the top of the government, the single most important politician in the entirety of the United Kingdom, is guilty of that kind of thing, then presumably you agree that if that is the case, then he's not fit to serve as Prime Minister. That's what you're saying.
I've already said that he'll be fully investigated. I'm sure that there's no way anything will be swept under the carpet, and there will be a full and transparent investigation. But the timing of this is all very interesting, and it's a complete distraction from the elections we've got coming up very shortly.
What do you suspect is behind the timing?
And police and crime commissioners.
What do you suspect is behind the timing?
What's behind the timing is they've lost control. And what's behind the timing?
I don't think anyone ever had control of Dominic Cummings. And it's very interesting that all the politicians and all the media who completely disbelieved Dominic Cummings when he gave his reasons for travelling to the
North England. The cabinet didn't.
His resignation. Now they believe every single word he issues.
No, wait a minute, though. This is where you're tying yourself in knots, I'm afraid, Andrew. The Cabinet are now saying that we always knew Dominic Cummings was a liar. In which case, why, when Dominic Cummings did that ridiculous press conference in the garden of Downing Street, which was an utter disgrace to the office of Prime Minister, why did virtually every single Cabinet minister put out a tweet on orders from Johnson saying he's answered all the questions, he acted as any father would, he's a man of honour and integrity, let's move on? So you're the people who were saying he was a fine man, and you're the ones who are now saying he's not a fine man. I've always known that Cummings is a liar and a cheat, because that's how you won Brexit. Johnson, however, put his entire faith in him. So that is why the question here is not what journalists said about Cummings, it's what Johnson said about Cummings.
Andrew?
But surely, Alistair, you've just tied yourself in knots by saying that you always knew that Cummings was a liar and a cheat, and now you accept his word.
No, I'm not accepting his word.
Unverified statements from a disgruntled former employee.
Andrew, in the hole.
We know Dominic Cummings' character, Alistair. He could be a member of the Salvation Army, and when he left, it would be acrimonious, wouldn't it?
Listen, Andrew, I'm reading.
Not necessarily.
I just want to bring you something here. I'm reading today that Tory MPs have repeatedly urged Boris Johnson to come clean about the flat payments. Do you think that would be wise for him to do now? And then it would be gone.
Well, he might have to resign, though.
Well, I think he should come clean about it. I think he's been as straightforward as
he possibly. So now you're saying he hasn't come clean.
Well, they can say what they want. I mean, this is news headlines, and it fits their narrative. No, I said there's going to be a full and transparent investigation. That will be demanded. That's de rigueur. That will have to happen.
Yeah, the investigation, though, isn't into Boris Johnson, though. It's into the Conservative Party. I know, Alistair, that's something that Labour have an issue with.
Well, we've got this situation, yes. One of the reasons why this is, you're asking about the timing. It's got, you know, of course, Dominic Cummings. I don't know whether Dominic Cummings is the source of this. According to Robert Peston and Laura Koonsberg, two journalists who are covering this, and to be absolutely frank, I've criticised them in the past for being far too close to Cummings and Johnson and far too believing of what they say, given that they're both proven liars. But the fact is that they are saying they've spoken to other people. Now, neither Andrew and I know exactly what Boris Johnson said that led to those stories. We don't know. We do know, however, that Boris Johnson spent money on the refurbishment of the flat, and OK, he's entitled to do that if he wants to, just as Rishi Sunak has tarted up the flat next door at his own expense. What he's not entitled to do, because as Cummings rightly said, this is just a factual statement, it was is potentially in breach of the law to get other people to fund those things on your behalf. And I think that the answer to your question, Claire, is why he won't come clean at the moment is because he's worried about what the truth says. And so what he's trying to do is just to sort of put up as much flack as possible, get MPs to go on the airwaves and say this is about Liverpool Council and this is about somebody in West Midlands that most of your listeners have never heard of, when actually it's about the standards in public life and the conduct of the Prime Minister, up to and including the possibility that he may have broken electoral law. Now, they got away with it, the criticism of the Electoral Commission, the Vote Leave campaign, but when you're the Prime Minister, it's a bit different. And I think that the Conservative Party, rather than sort of trying to, you know, confuse and distract and gaslight the public, they would be wise, in my view, to get to the bottom of it and not send out these hapless ministers who are going out on the airwaves day after day, clearly unaware of the facts, but just being told by Boris Johnson, just say that I've paid it off. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm not sure I believe that he's even paid it. We've only got his word for it. We have no proof that he has paid a single bloody penny.
Andrew, what do you say to that advice, that you'd be better off cleaning this up rather than defending the indefensible?
Well, I think it is a huge distraction from the elections that are coming up next week. I'm more interested in the soft furnishing preferences of the Prime Minister's spouse. What I'm interested in is it wasn't paid for by the taxpayer, and I think most people on the doorsteps feel that you can spend your money on whatever you want.
How do you feel, Andrew,
he won't be
about
taking
this?
Any benefit with him,
okay.
Will he?
How do you feel? Well, he might. He could take the sofas with him. How do you feel about this comment, "Let the bodies pile high in their thousands," which he allegedly made, and multiple witnesses
telling media outlets that they heard him say it. Judge people by their actions, not just their words. And they're only alleged words. The Prime Minister has inflicted very severe lockdowns which I and other Conservative MPs have railed back at times. And indeed, I personally think that we could be out of the lockdown rather faster than the Prime Minister's roadmap to freedom.
Everybody here will look at your vaccine rollout in the UK and go, wow, that was, you know, and it still is a stunning achievement. But what happened prior to that and how the pandemic was allowed to run out of control, the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives that were lost in the UK, you cannot defend that. You can't.
The Prime Minister is well aware that the damage of COVID is not just those who sadly lost their lives due to the virus. It is also the impact that's having and will continue to have for decades on young people's lives, their mental health, and the health and well-being of the wider population who are subject to the lockdown. As I said to the Prime Minister only the other week, you know, we use the lockdown to alleviate the effect of the virus and the pandemic. We almost need a plan now to get over the lockdown, because those effects are going to be with all of us for a very, very long time.
Alistair.
I mean, I think it's important to remember, because the thing about the way that our media over here works in particular, they just sort of move on to the next thing and forget the last thing. If we go back to the time that this wretched refurbishment was going on, Johnson now says that he wants to focus entirely on the pandemic, and he moved heaven and earth. Let's just remember, he was the leader who did not take this seriously. He was the leader who went on the holiday to Mustique, and by the way, we still don't know who paid for that. He then went for a second holiday at Chequers. He missed the five first Cobra meetings. He did a speech at Bloomberg saying there must be one country that stands up against this without shutting it down. Let that be the UK. He did not take it seriously. Tens of thousands of people died as a result of that. We have had a fantastic vaccination programme. We had an absolutely catastrophic first, second stage of this pandemic. And a lot of those deaths, I'm afraid, have to lie at the hands and at the door of the government for the inaction. When he was swanning around, it would now appear, buying wallpaper, buying 10 grand sofas, buying 3 grand bedside tables. That is what he was focusing on, having his nice weekends away at Cheveling and Chequers. And I'm afraid I think the public have rumbled it. And yes, he may do reasonably well in the local elections because there are some people who still like him. There are some people who like on Conservatives. There's some people who thank him for getting Brexit done, even though I might think it was a terrible thing to do. But all of that, to my mind, is as nothing compared with the fact that we now have a Prime Minister who lies brazenly and who is dragging the reputation of this country down all around the world.
It's water off a duck's back, Andrew, isn't it?
Well, I think that's all actually a little bit rich from the advisor to Tony Blair, the author of the Iraq dossier, which undermined confidence in public confidence in politicians for a generation.
Well, that would be the Iraq war that the Conservative Party at the time criticised us for not doing earlier. And that would be the dossier of which there have been several public inquiries, all of which cleared me. So you can do your little games
let's give the Prime Minister benefit of the doubt then.
Yes, I'm happy to do that.
The inquiry.
I'm happy to do that. However, there's a big difference. He has now appointed a ministerial standards advisor. Finally, the previous guy having resigned because he wouldn't take his word and Johnson would not accept his judgment on the bullying behaviour of your Home Secretary, Priti Patel, right?
Who was never interviewed by the investigation panel.
The Prime Minister will remain the arbiter of the code. When it is a normal Prime Minister, John Major, Ted Heath, Margaret Thatcher, David Cameron, Theresa May, Gordon Brown, Tony Blair, when it's a Prime Minister who actually understands that standards in public life are important, I can accept that. When it's Boris Johnson as the arbiter and the judge of the code of conduct in government, I'm afraid that is the beginning of the end of our serious country.
I just want to change direction here slightly, Andrew. I want to talk to you briefly about the DUP. That party will have a new leader very soon after Arlene Foster's decision to resign was announced by her yesterday. And one of the reasons she was pressured into going was because, as has been written, she was turned over by Boris Johnson and didn't see it coming. They say that she was stabbed in the back by Boris Johnson over the border in the Irish Sea. Now, how do you expect the Conservative Party relationship with the DUP to be with the new leader and between that new leader and Boris Johnson?
I don't think she was turned over by Boris Johnson. I think the UK has been turned over by the European Union. The problem with the trade agreement and future partnership is it's down to interpretation. I urge the Prime Minister at Christmas not to allow us in one day to pass that through our parliament, that the European Union were going to take longer to look at it, and that we should look at it, and we should study the way the EU were looking to interpret the new agreement. And it's clear that legal agreements are down to interpretation.
No border down the Irish Sea. No, nay, never. Not in my watch. Would never happen. How do you like that border down the middle of the Irish Sea? How she left office?
I hate it, and I think we're going to get to a crunch point with the European Union where it will have to change, or I can see a position where we'll be threatening to...
So you want to change the deal on which Boris Johnson won the election and became Prime Minister with his own mandate. We've been talking for the last 20 minutes about the fact that Boris Johnson's a liar. He lied to the people of Northern Ireland. He said over his dead body, and then he signed up to it. Even after he signed up to it, he said that he hadn't. And I'm afraid with Arlene Foster, Brexit is devouring its own children. She sold Brexit to the people of Northern Ireland as well, and it has not worked out as they wanted. But ultimately, Boris Johnson is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and he did something that he said no British Prime Minister would ever do. In doing so, he played fast and loose with the workings of the Good Friday Agreement. And the problem with people like Andrew Bridgen, those who fought hardest for Brexit, they will never, ever, ever bring themselves to accept their own responsibility in the utter chaos that they're
all right,
creating.
We have got to leave
and
it there.
And the European right. and the European Union went back on their
no,
word.
No, you'll always play.
There'll
right.
never
you'll
be a hard order
something
on the Isle of Ireland.
Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to take it outside. Andrew Bridgen and Alistair Campbell, thank you very much indeed
thanks,
for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.